So in so just bear with me. That's I've never done a full service, so if I stumble and repeat myself, just bear with me and we'll get through it together, right? Unless you guys leave me. But 1 Corinthians 5:15-20, Paul says, being the first fruit, Christ being the first fruit of them that slept. And I think Paul is trying to give us a connection here from the beginning, right? Like, mankind died by fruit hanging from a tree. And God thought mankind would live by fruit hanging from a tree, right? And when they buried Christ in the seed, and the third day burst forth from the grave, it bore so much more fruit in the resurrection, right? So I think he wants us to see the picture there that this Christ has a lot of worth. Isaiah 53:7, it says, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. And what I get out of it is, while they're beating him and whipping him, he didn't open his mouth. Because if he would have opened his mouth and asked for help, there would have been no resurrection. So, and if he would have asked for help, God would have granted it to him, right? He even said it himself. He had access to 10 legions of angels. He would have only needed one, but he had access to them, right? And then you get it as... he was dumb, like a sheep before the shears, and that's when he was in front of the governors and not opening his mouth, right? And we get this picture as he was nailed to the cross, right? They lifted him up. The Bible says it's a banner, but they lifted him up like a flag, right? And he bridged the gap, right, from sinful man to paradise, right? And he bore the shame, like, from the Roman soldiers using the sponge that they would wipe their backside with and giving and offering him to drink from that. And he did it all for us, right? Because he thought we were worth it, right? He figured we were worth it. And that's what I like to bring forth today, that he has an immense value on our soul. There's a price tag that he put on our soul that only he can give, right? And if you read through the scriptures, he calls us in many places pearls and diamonds and rubies, right? And like, we don't even think of ourselves in that way. Often we sell ourselves out to a lot less, right? We're created in his image, and so we are only one, right? We're not like the vehicles being built, so many the same. We're one, right? There's no duplication of us, right? And for what shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? The word world means universe there. If you look it up, it means universe. That's a high price tag, right? Like, what shall it profit a man to gain the whole universe and lose his own soul? That's a high price tag. Mark 4:11. And he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, and seeing that they may see and not perceive, and hearing that they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them." And Matthew 13:13 it says, "Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand." There's something about it when we see the value he has for us, that he becomes more valuable, right? And the more time we spend with him and he with us, we can see the value in the scriptures of each other, right? And these miracles that we read about that Jesus did, John calls them signs and wonders, but they point to greater things, right? They point to greater things. They point to his divinity, that he is the Son of God, right? And we're going to go through some of them. So when we read them, there's greater in them for us. And he wants to show us. I know myself, the more I read these miracles and the more I see his characteristics, and the more I believe in his characteristics, my faith grows, right? And when your faith grows, he reveals more to you, right? So back in the summer, we were struggling for help out on the farm and stuff, but back in the summer, I would always, in the evening, read quite a bit, and there was 3 or 4 days that went by, and I felt like I never got nothing out of the scriptures. It just seemed void, and I was praying to God there that, Lord, I'm not sure what I'd done or what I did, and I told God I repent, and that this void that I was feeling, that it would just leave, and that he would show me insight in these scriptures. And it didn't take long after that he revealed something as I was meditating, and I thought, hallelujah, hallelujah, the Lord's still here. And I told God, even if help never comes, I'm just so overwhelmed with joy that you gave me this nugget that I don't care if help never comes. And I tell you, not 2 minutes later, I got a phone call that there were people that needed work, and they came out and they worked, and I can honestly say he does care about each and every one of you. He does care, and he has great value in all of us, right? And it reminded me of the scripture in Matthew 6:33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you." So, John 1:50, it says, he says to Nathanael, "Do you believe? Thou shalt see greater things than this." Right? John calls the miracles signs and wonders, but to they are true miracles, right? But to us, they are promises, and when we meditate on them, he shows us greater things, his character, right? I've been praying to God for more insight in the scriptures and to more in depth like Howard and John and them, but it seems like it's a waiting game. I guess we got to wait. Got to wait. But anyway, until then, we'll build on what we know. Mark 5, 1 to 20. And they came over to the other side into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tomb a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. Always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee, my God, that thou torment me not." For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. And there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter them." And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out. Entering into the swine, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine, and told it in the city, and it come in the country, and they went out to see what had done. And they come to Jesus, and seeing him that was possessed with the devils, and had the legion sitting clothed in his right mind, and were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to them that was possessed with the devils, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of the coast. And when he was into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devils prayed him that he might be with them. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, "Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord had done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee." And he departed and began publishing in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all the men did marvel. So to him, it obviously was a blessing, right? In Matthew, it says that no one went that way in fear of these men. No one went that way, but Jesus did, right? Because he seen value in the soul. He seen value in that soul, right? And the 2,000 pigs was a sign, a show of how unclean the 10 cities were, right? The Decapolis was 10 cities, right? It means 10 cities. So the Gadarenes was part of this 10 city thing. And when you read it, you see the character of Christ, right? And what is the character of Christ? He's a great deliverer, right? He delivered him. He delivered. And as we see the and as we meditate and see that he's the great deliverer, we can see that he gives life, right? He gives life, restores hope. And if your uncleanness is as much as 10 cities, he'll throw it in the abyss, right? This is our Jesus, right? And Mark 3, 1 to 6, And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath, that they might accuse him. And he said unto the man in which he had the withered hand, stand forth. And he said unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath day or to do evil? To save life or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked around about them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he said unto the man, stretch forth thy hand. And he stretched out his hand and restored whole as the other. And the Pharisees went forth straightway, took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. Here they were angry, talking to Jesus, anger about the Sabbath. And Jesus is trying to tell them, like, the Lord God is at hand. I'm here. Why are you arguing with me? I'm at hand. I'm here. And we know that here ourselves, right? That he is here ourselves, right? God doesn't want us to wait for bubbling of waters or stirring of waters, right? That man was there for 38 years, right? He didn't even know when the stirring was going to come. He had no idea what the stirring. And then he didn't even know if he was even going to be able to go in the waters. But Jesus is saying he's at hand. He's here very well with us. That we don't need to wait for this or wait for that. And we're people of great price, right? And he has greater things for us, right? Mark 5:21. Or let's go to Luke 7. Luke 7:11. And after it came to pass the day after that he went into the city called Nain, and the many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carrying out the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bore him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And there came fear in all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet has risen among us, and that God has visited his people. And this rumor went forth throughout Judea and throughout all region around us. See, what's Jesus teaching us in the passage? That he's the provider, right? Right? This young lad was a mother's caretaker. And Jesus is saying, believe in the risen Son as your provider. Right? He provides for all things. Mark 5. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship onto the other side, much of the people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the city. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come, lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with them, and much people followed him, and thronged him, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood for 12 years. and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had and nothing better, and rather grew worse. And when she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, "If I may touch his clothes, I shall be whole." And straightway the foundations of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing himself, that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And he and his disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And he looked around to see her, and he had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth, and he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." While he yet spoke, there came the ruler of the synagogue's house, certain which said, "Thy daughter is dead. Why trouble thou the master any farther?" As soon as Jesus heard the words that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, "Be not afraid, only believe." And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John and the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, seeing the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come, he said unto them, "Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, "Talitha kumi," which is being interpreted, "Damsel, I say to thee, arise." And straightway the damsel arose and walked, as she was of age of 12. And they were astonished, which is a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Here this lady, for 12 years, right, couldn't go to synagogue, could not go in the public. She was totally isolated. Totally isolated. Jairus' daughter was dead. And what's the character of Christ in this miracle? The character of Christ is he's a restorer. He will restore you. If you haven't been to church, if you haven't had a prayer life in a while, if you haven't read your Bible, he's a restorer. He's there to restore the people back to himself, right? And there's a Luke 13. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. And Jesus saw her, and he called her to him, and said unto her, "Woman, thou art loose from thy infirmities." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the rulers of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, "There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day." And the Lord answered him and said, "Thou hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath day loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, who Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years be loosened from the bond on the Sabbath day?" And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. He's a liberator, right? He sets you free. From whatever bondage you have, he can set you free if you let him, right? If you let him, he can set you free. And there's, if we value Christ and we value what he has to offer, he values us and he teaches us great things. There's great things to be taught in the Bible. And it seems like the more we know him, the greater our faith is, and the more we need him, the more we rely on him. And that's all I have for you. Thank you, and have a blessed day.